Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Tom Day, Senior Vice President of Intelligent Mail and Address Quality at the U.S. Postal Service. Also joining us in our conversation is Bill Takis, IBM's U.S. Postal Service industry leader. Tom, as you stated earlier, you have responsibility for a new and innovative program at Postal Service. Could you elaborate a bit more on Intelligent Mail Barcode Initiative? To what extent does this represent the next step in automation, and how will it revolutionize the other aspects of how Postal Service accepts, processes, and transports mail using the barcode technology?
Well, it truly is the next step in the automation of mail, but it goes far beyond anything we've done in the past, and I've, through my career, been actively involved with that. Our efforts that literally go back to the 80s with barcode technology really have been focused on using a barcode to get mail sorted to its delivery point. What we're doing now with Intelligent Mail is rather than just having a barcode that represents a delivery address, simply a translation of address into barcode format, it now gives unique identity to the individual mail piece. What this next move, what this next effort is to do is about the information associated with that mail piece. It's not just to get it from point A to point B, wherever it needs to be delivered, but to understand where it is in the process. And what's interesting about this is it gives us a visibility not only in the Postal Service, but visibility through the full supply chain. At least that possibility is there. And I think many of the owners of mail are willing and really do want to do that. Let me just describe that. In the mail industry, we have owners of the mail. And those are the people that make the buying decisions. They're the ones with the money saying, I'm going to make a conscious effort, say for advertising mail, that I'm going to use the mail as my means to advertise as opposed to TV, radio, newspaper, or some mix of that. There then is an entire industry of service providers who are the ones that actually print and produce this mail. They do some of the creative activities around the design of the mail piece, print it, and then also the logistics of getting it to the Postal Service. Well, with Intelligent Mail, you have the opportunity as the owner of the mail to really get the full visibility of where is what you've decided to do. Where is it in the supply chain? Has it reached the Postal Service? As it reaches the Postal Service, where is it? Is it being delivered? Now, that's not just the knowledge of knowing where it is in the network, but it's also the way in which you can time other activities in your business. We know, because we've piloted these intelligent mail barcodes with a number of customers, it gives you the opportunity to time things with your own internal customer service operations, that you can time advertising campaigns. And really, I think one of the things to understand, ad mail is in competition with other advertising media, but smart advertisers, smart companies that advertise, are learning that hybrid is the way to go, that you mail things, you do internet coordination with your mailings, you send messages via the email that follow up, you advertise on TV. It's a coordinated advertising campaign, and mail is one of the critical aspects. Well, with Intelligent Mail, you can much more tightly coordinate that. On the flip side, as things come from the individual consumer back to companies, whether it's a bill payment, the return of a package, you ordered something, it wasn't the right size, it wasn't quite what you thought, you want to return it. Intelligent Mail gives a vision back to those companies to say, yes, the customer's put that back in the mail and it's coming back to me. On return items, you get to do things through Intelligent Mail that give us different ways to handle it. Not every company wants all these items to come back, a physical item in a package. There are decisions to be made that actually we just need to know, yes, the customer returned it, but actually U.S. Postal Service, what we'd like you to do with it, rather than bring it back to our warehouse to put it back in inventory, the cheapest way for us to handle it is just have it disposed of. But they need the record to understand, did it come back? So Intelligent Mail just opens up a whole host of opportunities of how you watch mail as it comes through the system and even comes back.
Well, Tom, you've talked about for the last few minutes about the tremendous benefits to the mailing community about in terms of this type of mail. Can you talk to us a little bit about some of the benefits to the Postal Service as well?
The benefits of the Postal Service really do cover a broad range of activity. First of all, we have this requirement for service measurement system, and one of the things I've been working on is we really do need this to make that system work effectively and efficiently. So it's a good thing we had that coming into place. We believe we're going to gain a significant value, and our history would indicate this to be true, that the value of the data and its ability to point out to us where things are occurring in our system, where are the bottlenecks? If we have service issues from point A to point B, is it at origin? Is it at destination? Is it a processing issue? Is it a transportation issue? Intelligent mail will give us so much more visibility. Now, we have some of that in place today, but what we're talking about here is visibility into virtually every piece of mail and to understand where it is in the network. There is huge value in knowing that, seeing it in the system, improving service. Our history over the last 15 to 20 years is that as we've significantly improved service through the data that we were able to put together to help us improve service, while we bring service up, we also know we've significantly reduced costs. I mean, I think that's just a general theme. There's a whole realm of academic study on this that quality improvement, while you make an initial investment in quality improvement, more than pays for itself. It just pays for itself many times over. We think the data we're going to get from intelligent mail barcodes, the quality data we'll get from it, will help us improve service and significantly reduce costs. Beyond that, though, we think it also opens a huge door to revenue opportunity, because this gives us two basic things. It gives us information that provides value to the mail, and that's would keep people and more than sustain it, but potentially grow the mail. But secondly, it gives us a format that as new product and service offerings are thought of, we have a much more flexible platform in which we can implement it. It's not about having to train people about here's this new product or service. In many ways, we can automate a significant portion of that process. So we'll be much more flexible and nimble in the introduction of new products and services.
Can you talk to us a little bit about some of the implementation issues that have faced both the Postal Service and the mailing community? And what type of tools are available to help out the mailing community as they face this implementation?
It's been a very interesting year plus for me. I've been in the job since June of 2007. I think if there's the greatest challenge, it's been this interaction with the mailing community. And it's no fault of theirs. All the issues they've raised are absolutely valid. We've gone through a very iterative process of consulting with the mailing industry in total as an entity, as well as individual customers and various trade associations. Part of the challenge is there are very different needs depending upon where people are positioned in the industry. It varies from very large volume mailers to smaller ones. It varies to the type of product. Whether you're a first-class mailer or you're a mailer of a magazine or newspaper, your needs can be quite different, and your infrastructure to support this can be significantly different. And so I think our greatest challenge is not only how do we build the system within the Postal Service, but it's these interfaces on both ends back to the mailing industry with that data flow and trying to do it in a way that accommodates all their needs. However, you do reach a point where you can get so frenetic in trying to meet everybody's needs that you don't really establish standards, and then it gets even more messy. So it's been trying to find that optimal position to find the right balance between meeting customer needs but not doing it in a way in which there's no standard at all. So it's making those tough decisions. We again, have been through an iterative process. We've done Federal Register notices with proposed sets of rules and specifying, you know, requirements and getting feedback. Does this work for you or not? And if it doesn't, what do we need to do? But ultimately, at the end of the day, you've got to make some decisions to say, okay, we've heard the input. Here's what we need to do, and understand that it will make some very happy, but others will not be. And you've just got to keep moving forward. And so that's the biggest challenge.
So along similar lines, could you tell us about Postal Service's use of discount incentives to help guide mailing industry technology investments to ensure that mailers meet the similar implementation mandates?
This probably has been the hottest topic over the course of the last several months. There has been a longstanding approach to the introduction of products and services. This goes back to when the PostNet code was first introduced, the barcoding. The Postal Service at that time in the 80s into the 90s was not capable of barcoding significant percentages of mail. Our ability to read a piece of mail and associate a code with it was relatively low. Our optical character recognition has just been phenomenal in the last 10 years or so, and so that problem has gone away. But the way we originally got people into it was through pricing incentives. And that really has been the practice. I'd almost describe it as become a habit. And quite honestly, we're going to go through that again. And it's been the topic of discussion with the industry. There's been a very clear message. And I would say from across the board, large to small, all the different products have clearly told us we as an industry need a pricing incentive. There are investments required to get into intelligent mail. There's investments by the Postal Service, but there are also significant investments by mailers. Their message to us has been, while they see real benefit to be gained from being an intelligent mail, they need a pricing incentive of some sort that will help them justify the investment with their management teams. Because for some companies, while they're in the mailing business, it may not be the overarching part of their business. And so for some, they've got to make stronger business cases than others. If you're purely just in the mailing business, this really does almost become a no-brainer. You've got to get in the game. Because if you don't, you're losing a source of competitive advantage with other major service providers. But for the companies that need to justify this with their own management team, they need a pricing incentive. And what we've committed to the industry is that what we would do is we will go forward with our next round of price increases. We are now under the law, under a cycle of price increases that go into effect every May. We have to file that with the Regulatory Commission in February every year. And when we go forward in February, the management recommendation will be to have a pricing incentive for intelligent mail. Now, I say recommendation because there's further steps to the process. The management team puts together a recommendation. It requires the approval of our Board of Governors, which then files it with the Postal Regulatory Commission, which also must review and approve it. So at this point, what we've committed to is there will be a pricing discount for intelligent mail that will go forward to our board for their approval in February.
What does the future hold for the United States Postal Service? We will ask Tom Day, Senior Vice President of Intelligent Mail and Address Quality, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.